We are a statewide network of food pantries. We are the ones that work with the Feeding America Network, which is the larger food bank on a national basis, bringing food into the state of Montana and then funneling it down through our partner agencies throughout the state.
How many agencies?
We have 208 agencies right now that we partner with, and they are the ones that do the boots on the ground service, the pantries, kitchens, group homes, those types of things.
Are there more of them coming up all the time, or is the number of pantries shrinking?
You know, actually more and more are starting to creep up, and while we have 208 partner agencies, we know that there's more out there. And some of them are pretty subtle. It might just be a church that does outreach for their congregation, those types of things. But we're always looking for new partners to bring in, especially in areas where we don't work currently with.
Doesn't that put more pressure on you looking for more?
Absolutely, but that's our job. You know, that's what our whole role is. Our mission is to make sure that we get out into those communities, whether they have pantries or to help plant new pantries or to bring backpack programs, something that is able to help those individuals in those counties and the communities in need.
Okay. Well, before we talk about the season ahead, let's talk a little bit about the past few months in terms of services over the summer. How was demand? How'd it go?
Well, the summertime is always a whole different challenge for us. A lot of the kids are out of school. They don't have access to snacks and meals through a daycare program or something. They're now at home, and the family's obligation kind of steps up a little bit more and has to take care of them. We also find that donations tend to be down a little bit through the summer months. Folks are out pretty busy, and they're not necessarily thinking first and foremost of doing a food drive or making a contribution.
So what does that mean in terms of your all services and how you respond to them?
Well, that's when we really have to pump it up and make sure that those donations that we get throughout the year are really focused on helping us purchase more food. Again, we have this wonderful network throughout the United States that helps us get food in on a very low-cost, no-cost basis many times. Through our network, we can bid on truckloads and only have to pay for, say, shipping instead of having to pay for the entire truckload of product. So we really do have to kind of get a little more creative, work with our neighboring states and bringing more produce in so that we can help to supplement those times when those pantries aren't necessarily receiving as much help from their communities.
Do you get state, federal funding?
We are contracted through the state purely to do the pass-through of the commodities program. So we do have the commodities come through us and deliver, because we have a six-week delivery cycle throughout the state. And so we will help if we're making that location stop anyway. We'll bring those commodities along with us.
From, you know, your Missoula base here, where's your furthest pantry?
I would say probably up in the, we do go as far as Sydney. That is one area, although that side of the state is severely underserved. Yeah. So that would be our furthest. We do about 10,000 miles a month in our route that we do. Cover our whole service area is 56 counties, although 31 of those are very much in need of needing some emergency food pantries and kitchens and so on there. But we do cover a lot of territory every month.
Yeah, I should say, boy, that's got to get, that's got to be difficult.
Yeah, it's a big state.
You mentioned the eastern half of the state. Now that, you know, the Bakken oil boom, I wonder if that's going to get more services out there for people.
Well, we're hoping so. That's been one of our focus areas and definitely an area in need. And you think even though with the oil boom going on, what's happening is the people that are coming in and getting those jobs, who many of them are from out of state, aren't necessarily those that live there. And so the cost of living there has gone up dramatically. And now it's very difficult to keep the shelves stocked at the grocery stores that are there because of the population boom that they've had. So they've got their own elements of challenges and can't necessarily say that the need has decreased just because now there's some higher paying jobs locally. There's still great need there. We haven't seen right now a huge expansion of any pantry assistance. I think it's been pretty explosive pretty rapidly for a lot of individuals, and they're starting to identify some pretty serious needs that they have of people who are now homeless that weren't before because they can't afford to pay the rent and those types of challenges that occur. So that is an area that we are looking at doing, but again, they've got so many challenges of their own. Infrastructure is basically one of them, making sure that there is an agency that can serve as a pantry that has that capacity to do that.
Even though your old services are high on the priority list, there are indeed other higher priorities at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So the eastern part of the state, again, being a food desert area, meaning not only there aren't very many emergency assistance programs out there, but the challenge is just getting to a local grocery store. You know, look at how desolate those areas are. And it can be 30, 40, 50 miles before they reach the nearest services. And you take a family that is challenged to afford gas to get to work, let alone drive that far for groceries.
Boy, we take it for granted out here, don't we?
We really do. We do. We've got a lot going on the western side, although there's still a lot more need that we could probably address out here, but certainly the real desolate areas are the challenges for us.
Ms. Gifford, earlier this month, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits were reduced by what, about 5%?
Right. On average, it means about $36 for a family of four will be cut, and that's an average, about 21 meals a month. So it's a pretty significant cut. SNAP benefits for an average family were lasting about 3 weeks out of the month. So they were having to provide for themselves, basically, either through their income or through emergency assistance for that 1 week. Now with 21 meals cut, you know, think of how long that is going to last. So we're probably looking at just half the month for SNAP benefits to assist them. And this affects 131,000 Montanans that'll be receiving SNAP cuts.
Well, you don't think $36 a month would be that much.
You wouldn't think, but they get very creative in the way that they budget their SNAP benefits, and it is a huge assistance to them that will be eliminated. And right now, pantries aren't necessarily feeling the pinch. We're just heading into the middle of the month, so the SNAP benefits probably are going to start running out here very soon, and that's when we're going to start to see the impact on our pantries.
And what sort of impact are you projecting, and how do you plan to respond?
Well, typically, the average person that goes to a food pantry goes maybe six times a year. What we're expecting to see is more frequency. I don't know that the pantries will be able to give them a larger food box. Most of them will be 3 or 4 days worth of food, depending on the size of the family and what their availability is. So we might see some more frequency from those individuals who are receiving those SNAP benefits and have gotten the cuts. As far as addressing it, again, it's just our creative ways. It's amazing when we start calling out into our networks and start working with our donors and the food contributors and so on, and what we can bring in there. Pantries might just have to start getting a little more creative in what they provide in their food box and the quantity that they provide.
How creative in terms of what they provide?
You know, one of the things that we are looking at and we're starting to see happening more and more is we're buying not just truckloads, but we're buying bulk product. So instead of getting a consumer-sized box of cereal, for example, we're buying a 300-pound, 500-pound box of cereal, and we're repacking that in our warehouse. So we have those capabilities of doing that, so it definitely saves. I mean, you can save quite a bit in just getting a 300-pound bulk bag of cereal versus having it packaged. That packaging's expensive. So we're looking at doing that more so now with some of those core staples like rice and pasta, not just cereal, crackers, pretzels, all of those things. Little by little, the pantries are beginning to establish that capacity as well. So we can ship down to them large bulk products, and they can break that down themselves. That's a huge step in enabling them to become a little more self-sufficient and also saving a lot of cost.
Yeah. So here you are getting creative. And on top of that, can you believe we're just a few weeks away from Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holiday season?
Yes, it is. It's amazing. You know, the Food Bank Network, and we purchase about 28,000 turkeys. Those have all been out into the agencies. We're starting to hear of them scheduling their food distributions. Don't know yet exactly how the contributions are going on their end as far as agencies that work with Toys for Tots and how their food baskets are pulling together. Those applications typically are going to be ending here pretty soon, and they'll have some idea of the if there's any increase in need from families that need assistance through the holidays.
How could the public respond if they'd like to help out?
You know, there's a couple of different ways. Look to see if there is going to be a holiday distribution in your community. A lot of agencies do this. Churches will do this. Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul. If you have an agency in your community that's doing any kind of a holiday distribution, step up and volunteer. One of the most rewarding things, I do that every year, is to be at a Christmas distribution where they distribute toys and food for the holidays. And the gratitude that you see from the families is tremendous. And then obviously make that contribution, because this stuff does not come all the time free. So make the donation. If you don't make it to the Montana Food Bank Network and you prefer to put it within your community, then certainly make that donation there, because their dollar goes a long way. From the MFBN standpoint, every dollar you contribute to us, we can purchase enough food for three meals.
So cash is a great way to leverage them.
Yeah, to leverage their donation. Yes. You know, it, for them to go to the grocery store and buy a dollar worth of product isn't going to get them nearly as much as what that dollar we can do within our system.
You said those food distribution events are very gratifying. They're not depressing?
No, they're not. They really aren't. And I think a lot of that is because the people that come to you aren't depressed themselves. I mean, they're very thankful. They are very grateful for the agencies that can do that distribution for them. They're always very upbeat. It's amazing what the human nature, you know, how much they can really thrive. And it's just when you see that sort of a thing, they're so happy and so thankful that they're able to provide for themselves and their family.
And if people would like to help out, they can donate directly to the Montana Food Bank Network, correct?
Yes, they can. They can go to our organization's website, which is mfbn.org. And we have a number of different ways that they can make their contribution through that website.
How?
Well, they can do it online through their credit card. They can send in a donation. We also have a direct mail campaign, and hopefully they're on our mailing list, and they can receive their giving envelope that way. Or they can certainly, if they're in the area and they want to stop by MFBN, they can drop off their contribution that way.
Fantastic. Gail Gifford, CEO of the Montana Food Bank Network, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.